she...
America's oldest food magazine, shutting down.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, good morning. I'm Bill Radke. Publisher Condé Nast will reportedly announce today it is closing Gourmet Magazine. That's according to the New York Times and the Wall Street Journal. Joining us live is Porter Bibb at Media Tech Capital Partners. He specializes in the media industry. Good morning, Porter.
Good morning, Bill.
So Condé Nast is also closing Modern Bride, Elegant Bride, and Cookie magazines. But, you know, Gourmet is the institution, been around since 1940. Why is Gourmet going?
Well, it is one of Condé Nast's most famous titles. And the editor, Ruth Reichel, is one of Condé Nast's best-known figureheads. So it was a big surprise. Most people who've been watching thought that Bon Appetit, Condé Nast's other food and recipe magazine, would be the one they'd shut down.
Why do you think Gourmet Magazine? What's the situation?
I think that they're facing too much competition right now in the luxury sector. Food and Wine and Martha Stewart and a whole slew of other magazines have stolen what little advertising is there for Gourmet. It's important to realize, though, that Condé Nast is going to keep it alive as a zombie magazine. It'll have an online presence and a television presence, but they're stopping the print.
Well, I was wondering whether online recipes have been a special competitor, you know, even beyond what lots of other publications are facing.
They're a very serious and growing competitor to any print magazine in the food and wine business. Kraft, for instance, has offered an iPhone app, premium recipes for 99 cents, and that seems to be, it's not only a marketing tool, it's a great consumer attraction for the brand and for their recipes.
Porter Bibb at Media Tech Capital Partners. Very interesting. Thanks a lot.
It's a pleasure, Bill. Thank you.
Porter Bibb joining us live there. Now let's do the numbers. S&P 500 is up by about 1% this morning, and the NASDAQ is up 0.8%. The Dow is ahead 70 points at 9,557. European stocks gained about 0.5% today. Asian markets were mostly lower. In the rush to stabilize the financial system last fall, officials from the Treasury and the Fed reportedly misled the public about the health of some of the nation's biggest banks. That's according to an audit released this morning by the watchdog overseeing the bank bailout program. Marketplace's Tamara Keith has more.
The first infusion of cash from the Troubled Asset Relief Program went to 9 banks. At the time, government officials described them as healthy. But at least in the case of Merrill Lynch, Bank of America, and Citibank, that wasn't actually true. The audit says behind the scenes, officials, including then-Treasury Secretary Paulson, expressed concerns about the health of the banks. In the audit report, the Special Inspector General says calling the banks healthy created unrealistic expectations and hurt the credibility of the program. Assistant Treasury Secretary Herb Allison says we can't forget that when this happened last year, the whole financial system was on the brink of a meltdown.
I don't think it's fair to second-guess statements from the vantage point of today that were made a year ago at the height of that crisis.
That said, he agrees with the Special Inspector General's conclusion that accuracy and transparency are important in programs like this one. In Washington, I'm Tamara Keith for Marketplace.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by The Economist, covering news and ideas from around the world and the connections between them. The Economist, on newsstands, in bookstores, and at economist.com. And by Monsanto, committed to sustainable agriculture, creating hybrid and biotech seeds designed to increase crop yields and conserve natural resources. Produce more, conservemore.com.
Why does the stock market ebb and flow, sometimes violently? Is it just earnings and asset values, or is there something bigger at work? Some people think life unfolds according to predictable cycles, and you can tell the future if you know the right mathematics or know about the movements of stars. In the New Yorker magazine's Money issue, out today, staff writer Nick Palmgarten explores some of the more intriguing cycle theories. Good morning, Nick.
Good morning, Bill.
The stars show up, also the Fibonacci sequence made famous in the Da Vinci Code. Why do we feel the need to find patterns like these?
Well, I suppose we have a human need to find patterns in everything. You know, it's how we hunt. It's how we escape the killer lion. It's how we plant things for the season. So we have a tendency to look for patterns and everything. I think the market often seems senseless, no matter how much research we do. It's still a mystery to us, so I think it's natural for us to seek patterns in it.
You write that these cycle theories get a lot more popular in down markets than in good times.
Yeah, that's what they tell me. I think it has to do with the fact that when things are going well, we think we're responsible for it. And when things go badly, then we want to sort of disavow responsibility for having things go to hell. And instead, we seek other explanations, sometimes sort of mystical explanations.
Your central character in your story is this former hedge fund manager who had a lot of his success in Asia, where the idea of cycles seems less far-fetched than it does in the West.
That's true. You know, he had a prediction. He called the day that was the highest of the Nikkei before it crashed in 1989. And as a result of that call and the fact that he sort of believes in these cycles, he had a very sympathetic audience in Asia, and it helped him do business there.
He used the irrational number pi.
Yes. He believes that things happen in cycles of 3,141 days, which, of course, as everyone knows, is pi times 1,000, which is 8.6 years.
Well, did you find that there seems to be anything to any of these theories?
There are occasional uncanny hits. It's possible you can throw out 1,000 predictions, and when two of them hit, you can trumpet those predictions. What I think it does, it forces you to think about things in a different way. And it's always healthy to think about things in a different way, think about markets in a different way. You know, perhaps there are forces at work that we don't understand. I think it's at least wise to consider the possibility.
New Yorker staff writer Nick Palmgarten, great to talk to you. I guess I'll see you again in exactly 8.6 years.
I hope so. Thank you very much.
And you thought downsizing was difficult? At least you're not biting people in the chest. When Jacques Chirac left France's presidency, he and his dog Sumo had to downsize to an apartment, and now the Chirac family says Sumo is headed to a farm in the French countryside, which I hope means he's headed to a farm in the French countryside. I'm Bill Radke.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.